الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته The first hadith from the book المنتقى للأخبار of Sheikh Majduddin Ibn Taymiyyah Ali Rahmatullah has to do with Kitab al-Tahara, the book of purification. The Sheikh started with Abwab al-Miyah, the chapters of water. Abwab is the plural of the word babun. When they say babun, if it has to do with a hadith, that is, they are bringing similar a hadith that reach the same issue. So those a hadith will be considered babun. Babun. And kitab is also referring to a hadith, but a hadith that treats different issues, different topics, under a general topic, so to say. So those ahadith, they treat different topics under a broader topic or under a theme. So in a kitab, you have abwab. In a kitab, you have abwab. And in a bab, you have a hadith. And if it has to do with masail, as we mentioned last week, so similar thing will be said concerning that. So the Sheikh says, abwabul miyah, chapters of water. That is a hadith that treats the issue of water. Al-Miyah is the plural of the word Ma'un. So meaning the author wants to talk about different types of water. Then he says, Babu Tahuriyati Al-Ma'i wa Ghayri. The chapter has to do with Tahuriyah. What is Tahuriyah? Tahuriya is Mazdar Sinai, that is a Mazdar that is coined by adding Ya and Ha, that is Ta Marbuto, to the end of words of it. So Tahur means something that is pure and that can purify another thing. That is Tahur. What is pure and can purify another thing? That is called what? Tahur. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً طَهُورًا. And we send down from the sky, مَاءً طَهُورًا. Water that is what? Pure. That can also purify other things. So طَهُورِيَّةٌ, meaning the ability to purify. I hope this is clear. Tahurun is purifying. That is what can purify another thing. Then the ability to purify that trait of purifying another thing is called what? Tahuriyya. So this is what? Is Mazdaru Sina'i Qawmun. So like that. So Babu Tahuriyyati al-Ma'i al-Bahri wa ghayri. This chapter has to do with the ability of the water of the sea towards to purify other things. The ability of the sea, the water of the sea things. وَغَيْرِ and other than what? Other than the sea. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال from Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, he said سأل رجل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. A man asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said فقال يا رسول الله, he said to Messenger of Allah, إنا نركب البحر إِنَّا نَرْكَبُ الْبَحْرِ, we certainly ride on the sea, that is, we travel by sea, that is, we be on the ship. وَنَحْمِلُ مَعْنَا الْقَلِيلَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ, and when we travel by the sea, we travel in water. So نَحْمِلُ مَعْنَا الْقَلِيلَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ, we carry little water with us. Some of the scholars say they will go fishing. And when they go fishing, at times they will have to travel far. So the water that they carried along with them may not be able to survive. So وَنَحْمِلُ مَعْنَا الْقَلِيلَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ فَإِنْ تَوَضَّأْنَا بِهِ عَطِشْنَا. The little water that we carry together with us, if we use the water to perform ablution when it is time for salah and we need to perform ablution, if you use the water for ablution, عَطِشْنَا, we go أَفَنَتَوَضَّهُ بِمَاءِ الْبَحْرِ, can we perform ablution with the water of the sea? Can we perform ablution with the water of the sea? The reason the companion asked this question is that if you look at the sea water, it is salty. At times you look at the seawater, you see the way some filthy things are coming into it. The way some filthy things are coming into it. You see this with your naked eyes. That some things will be dumped, people will throw the feces, human feces, into it. The menstrual parts, and things like that, people throw them into the sea. So if you look at the seawater again, it stinks, it smells, particularly if you pass by this, what do they call it, Lagos Island, you see even the fish that they catch, you perceive some odor that will be irritating somehow. So this companion said, if you want to perform ablution, you perform ablution with what? With clean water, like the water that falls from the sky. Like the water that falls from the sky. Or maybe a well water that is a dog in a good place, As for the taste of the water, it is salty. The odor is not okay. So the companion asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that can we perform ablution with the sea water? If we have little with us, we have little water with us. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not tell him, yes, you can perform ablution with the sea water. He went further to say, huwa tahuru ma'uhu al-hillu maitatu. Instead of answering one question, he gave him two answers. The first one has to do with the water. So the one who does not know the ruling of the water, most likely he would not know the ruling of the creatures in the sea. Because if he's skeptical concerning the ruling of the water, definitely he will be skeptical about what is living in the water from among the animals. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam combined the two. And that is why it is good to be a person that studies the situation of a person. Somebody asks you a question, you have to study the situation. You have to know the type of the person that has put a question to you. You don't answer question in the same way. In the same way. At times some brothers, they ask question because they want you to criticize somebody who is seated. You may say, Ustaz, is it permissible to do so and so? That question is directed to a particular person seated. If you are not very careful and watchful, you answer the question in such a way that will not benefit that person about whom the question is asked. Rather, it enrages him, it makes him get angry, and he will never benefit from it. And that's why it is very, very important, as students, when we are asking questions, don't ask your question in order to attack somebody that is what? That is seated there. You ask your question with the intention of what? Wanting him to benefit. Because almost everybody has his own defects and shortcomings. So when you ask a question in order to attack somebody seated, you have not done him any good. Just as you would not like somebody to ask question that will attack you. Somebody knows that you are guilty of something, he is not guilty of that thing. Then he's asking question about what you are guilty of. Not because he wants you to benefit, but he wants the malam to descend on you. This is not something that is good. So even if at all you are going to ask us a question, you ask in such a way that will be beneficial to the person that is affected. That when the person comes out, he will tell Jazakallahu Khairan for asking that question. Not that you feel that you want to humiliate him, you want to embarrass him. So if such a question is asked, the malam responding to that question should be very, very careful, because they end up just attacking that person, particularly if the person is known to be somebody who is sincere, not somebody who is troublesome, not somebody who is trying to disrupt the free flow of sunnah. If that is the case, the question will be asked to attack the person, because he himself is not somebody that is okay. But somebody that you know that he has a zeal for learning, but he has some weak areas, if you are going to ask question in his presence, you ask the question in such a way that is going to benefit him. So the same thing, you look at the person that you are responding to his words, to his question. You know the case of the companion that says, Allahumma arhamni wa Muhammadan wa la tarham ma'na ahadan. O Allah, be merciful with me and Muhammad, and don't show your mercy at any other person apart from both of us. So there is no doubt that there is i'tida' in this type of dua. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not attack the man, because he knew this man was ignorant of what he said. So he had to tell him that لَقَدْ تَحَجَّرْتَ وَاسِعًا, what is very spacious, you have narrowed it. That is, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more spacious than it to be restricted and confined to those both of us. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the man. The same man was the one who urinated in the masjid. You know, the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not cemented, nor was it created, so it was not tiled, nor was it rocked. It was pebbles. So the man said he could just urinate anywhere. So when he was pressed, he just moved to a corner of the masjid and urinated there. When the companions saw him urinating, they wanted to beat him. So as they were moving closer to him, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Da'uhu la tuzrimuhu, leave him. Don't cut his urination." Why? Because any attempt to go for the man, he will run. And when he runs, he will face them with the urine. One, they will be forced to see his nudity, which they are not supposed to see. Then the man will have to pee on his body. That's another thing. It makes the body, the clothes, and the body becomes what? Become putrefied. Then it's likely to splash the urine on the body of some of them. Then you spill the urine on the ground of the masjid. The Messenger of Allah said to them that they should leave him. Then he said, إِنَّمَا بُعِثُمْ مُيَسِّرِينَ وَلَمْ تُبْعَثُ مُعَسِّرِينَ. You have been raised to make things easy for people. You have not been raised to make things difficult for people. Why to be any one of us today, if we see somebody urinating in the masjid, what will we do? We'll beat them out of him. So the issue that the man is ignorant, doesn't know much about the deen, we are less concerned about that. We treat him as if what he has been attending alcohol with us for the past 15 years. What does the man may not know that, okay, this is wrong, this is wrong. Look at the way the Messenger of Allah addressed him. But an Umar, for instance, or an Abu Bakr would do something, and the Messenger of Allah would be angry, that they would see the anger on his face, because he believed they were what they were supposed to know. So that's why you don't answer the questions of people the same way, and you don't treat the questioners the same way, you don't treat the people the same way. The one who knows, and the person is what, is arrogant and does not want to submit to the truth, that person, you don't have what, you don't treat him with mercy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُجَادِلُوا عَلَى الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ, the non-Muslims. If you want to debate with them, you debate with them in the best way. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنُّ. Except those people among them that you know, these people are all stubborn, they are not ready to accept the truth. Then such people will be treated mercilessly by those in authority. And if it happens to be that a Muslim is so stubborn, doesn't want to take the truth when you are debating with him, you have to boycott him. You don't debate for debating's sake. That is wrong. When you debate with people, you debate with them so that you can benefit, they can benefit. But when somebody is adamant on his view and he wants you to benefit, of what, he wants you to debate of what benefit is what, is that debate? You are wasting your time. You are wasting your time. And that's why the Salafu Sali, you will not see them debating ways. They, Muqtadiya, unless if they feel they are people that watch, that are not stubborn, They are people who can benefit. But somebody who is stubborn will not accept the truth. The more you show him the truth, the more stubborn he is. So such a person, you don't debate with him. Unless in the presence of the authorities, so that the person will be exposed to the authority. But if they want to debate with them, then brothers will be seated, sisters also seated. If the person is somebody who has what? Shubuhat. As he's dropping the shubuhat, you'll be seeing somebody that will say, what? Wallahi, he is bringing evidence. It's making sense. And that is the nature of human being. What does not make sense to you? Make sense to what? To some people. I remember some years back, while we were having what debate in Foundation, Abdulaziz Foundation, this Jabata case. The way the matter went, some of our brothers sent me message that you have undo this man too, you have behaved too harshly on the man. That is, you really, you know, embarrassed him, because you met him without any evidence. He sent me the message as if you had gone too far on him, would have pitied him a bit. But at the same time, some people fell for him that very day. In fact, some of those who are his followers then, some still remain with him for about 5 years before what they knew he was on the wrong path. For 4 years, they still remain with him. Then later they came out to say what? They were refuting him. Why some people, it was that very day they knew he was upon error. And they watched. They left. So, and that's why debate is not always the solution. Debate is not what? The solution. At times, when you debate with people, the way the person presents his matter, some people will fall for that. So, and that's why it is very, very important that you know how to address people, when to address, the way we treat people may be different. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the man, huwa tahuru ma'uhu al-hillu maytatu. Inshallah, we'll be talking more on that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with this that we'll add. And may subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook our shortcomings. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. I just want to just say one or two things with regards to what our Sheikh and of course our first Sheikh said. There's like a recurring decimal in what both of them have said. He spoke about democracy, someone trying to sell democracy to us as a system that is acceptable for us as Muslims. Then Ustaz is also mentioning dealing with people of Bid'ah or people generally. I also had an issue this today, and it also has to do with things like this, shubuhat and stuff like that. So we have to be very, very careful when it comes to matters that we don't understand. For those of us who come to this halqa, whenever we find something that is confusing to us, our authorities, as they are here, let's call them. Don't let anybody just sell anything to us. They tell us this thing is like this, and we've been coming here, for some of us have been coming here for like 3, 4, 5 years, and it would be unfortunate that we just accept it like that. Someone will begin to sell the ideas of the Tekfiriyun to us, and maybe some of us are accepting it. So it's really unfortunate. Or someone is trying to sell the idea of democracy and things like that. And I'm sure that Ustaz has dealt with this topic not once, not twice, not thrice, not in the lecture itself, but during question and answer session, he used to talk about these matters. And I'm shocked that some of us are still falling for some of these things that people bring about. This issue of the avatar that Ustaz just mentioned, you know, towards the end of his you know, talk, you know, I have a feeling that someone is also trying to sell some of these things to us. I heard that this issue is coming up again. Some of us have been coming here. I don't know why we still fall for issues like this, for things like this. This is a matter that Ustaz has dealt with over time again here and in some other places. And some of our mashayikh who are upon the Quran and Sunnah and as understood by the Salaf, they have talked about this matter. So we have to be very, very careful when we hear something that we know is different from what we've been hearing here. I'm not saying some of our fazi are masumun, no. But when they are saying what the Quran has said, what the Sunnah has said, you know, as understood by the present and also the past scholars, so why do we have to doubt ourselves? Why do we want to put ourselves in a situation whereby, you know, we are dancing and we are swimming in shubuhat? So we need to be very, very careful. Our brothers and our sisters generally, we need to be very, very careful about things like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to guide us. I don't know if Ustaz wants to say something about this. Okay. Now, time to learn. Okay. I'm sorry, we might not be able to take any. She come up with a question for Malini. Okay, because of time, we might not be able to take any questions. So those of us that have written questions here, let's try and write them tomorrow. Even though, I mean, on Thursday, even if we don't, if they are not related to the topic, as long as those questions are important, inshallah, we'll take them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to guide us. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Inshallah, la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.